And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
As long as they keep on making animated Star Wars, Hope Molinax and Chris Honeywell will be on the case. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a project that began with Clone Wars and now may never end.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a bi-weekly podcast that talks about something Star Wars. Hey, it's Hope. And that might sound funky because I'm in my kitchen right now, and I have decided that after hemming and hawing and like going back and forth about this and stuff like that, I just wanted to do an episode. But I'm also cooking dinner, so which is why I don't have my normal setup. You can hear my wonderful acoustics in my kitchen. Ooh, wasn't that wonderful acoustic in my kitchen? Ooh-hoo-hoo. Anyway. So as I cook dinner, this is a new kind of show. It's Cooking with Hope as she does a Star Wars review, so, Anyway, I've been talking about this for some time now. Oh, you want to know, I'm making a pasta, but I'm going to saute some zucchini and some mushrooms and some onions before I make the sauce. We're gonna put some garlic in it and then some garlic. This isn't my, salmon Alfredo that I like to make with like za'atar seasoning and stuff like that. This is just a very basic bitch. I have some leftover ground turkey and I need to get rid of it. And I have some veggies and some noodles, so I guess we're having spaghetti. So that's what we're making tonight as I talk about the courtship of Princess Leia. Okay. Courtship of Princess Leia. Here we go. I don't want to talk about this book for a while now. Oh, wrong cutting board. I'm going to Legends Expo in September, and I wanted to start reading some Legends to get ready for it. So after talking to listener of the show, Charles, and our co-podcaster, Colton, and going back and forth, I decided that I wanted to start my Legends journey with Courtship of Princess Leia, because I'm a single woman and I want to read about romance, please. And they were like, you're gonna have issues with it. And I was like, I'll be fine, I say, as I take out the knife. This is a knife. Hear that knife? Let's go. And I was like, it'll be fine, it'll be great. Guys, okay, so I just want to preface this by saying that Colton and Charles were right. The book's a trip. And it might be the best, worst, one of the best worst things I ever read, ever. Because there are parts of Courtship of Princess Leia that are so goddamn good. There are other parts. Hi Zeb, you wanna come inside? Zeb has now joined us as he has come inside from the outside. There are parts of Courtship of Princess Leia. This is not the toddler zucchini. Sorry, when I went to the grocery store today to buy the zucchini, hear that? That's a zucchini. I walked up and there was a family in front of me and I was kind of politely waiting. They had a small toddler with them and this toddler came up and picked up a zucchini and put it in his mouth and bit it. They were teeth marks and this woman is just like, no, don't do that. And she takes the zucchini with her child's teeth marks and puts it up. And I'm like, girl, that's your zucchini now. Why? Ew, disgusting. And so they go off as if her child didn't bite a zucchini. And I was just like, well, I'm not getting that zucchini for my dinner. Anyway, question for Prince Leia. So there are parts, I think I should start with the worst parts. Let's get the worst stuff out of the way, right? And I feel like to get the worst parts out of the way, I need to preface coming into this. Let me talk about Han Solo for a minute. If you recall, when we did our commentary watching The Empire Strikes Back, I am not the biggest Han Solo fan. Empire is one of the reasons why I have two rankings, because for one, this is probably going to be loud, I'm sorry for the cutting noises. For one, Empire is the best made Star Wars. It just is. And there's no debate about that. Like, it literally changed the course of cinema. Like, A New Hope and Empire did that. I don't personally enjoy watching Empire because of one scene and one scene only. And it's because of Han Solo. And you know when you're a child? And when you're a child, you are in school and you sometimes have to, like, go either to, like, you have to watch those videos where they teach you about, like, stranger danger and, like, no means no. And if a stranger comes up to you and, like, touches you in a way that you don't approve of, you go tell an adult, like, those videos, right? So my childhood brain, when I watched Empire Strikes Back, and I see the scene when they're trying to fix the Falcon, and Han is, like schmoozing up on Leia, Leia says no multiple times, and he still forces a kiss on her. So child brain in my head, when I was a kid, went, oh, Leia said no, and Han still kissed her, so that must make Han a bad guy. Like, that was what I thought as a child. And so, of course, as I got older, you know, like, I learned the nuance and the fucking stupid 80s storytelling. And so I understood the storytelling better. But as someone who I know, I'm not, like, ashamed of this because I've come a long way. I just don't talk about it a lot, though. As somebody who has been a victim of sexual assault, like, it's just not okay in my brain. It wasn't okay in little child hope brain. That's not okay in adult hope brain. So I don't enjoy watching Empire Strikes Back, even though it is the best. I enjoy watching the rest of the movie. So, like, I've always, like, never liked Han. The first time I ever liked Han Solo was actually, I think, Solo, A Star Wars Story, because, like, I really enjoy Alden as Han. And I do want to say, oh, it's a really good zucchini. I have a zucchini in my mouth. Haha, wink, wink. It has nothing to do with Harrison Ford. Harrison is amazing. Harrison Ford is an amazing actor. Like, we stand Harrison Ford. This is not about that. This is about the character of Han Solo. And, yeah. So, I've always struggled with Han Solo. So, can I get to the courtship of Princess Leia? Made everything I ever felt about Han Solo, like, it, like, validated it, guys. It, like, validated my feelings on Han Solo, because he is the worst fucking guy. And I'll get to Tenennial, because, like, Tenennial is like a chunk of the problem with Han in this book. And that is a big chunk of, she is the reason why a Han can get away with this. But, like, Han is just the worst characters, and sometimes it's great. There are times when, like, all the women in the book are just fucking shitting on him. You know, when they go to Dathomir, and I'll get to the witches in a second. When they go to Dathomir, like, I should have looked up all their names. All the witches of Dathomir are, like, making fun of him. Like, oh, you're a stupid man. And he's just getting big angry at them. And it's, like, really, really funny. Because, like, all the women, and, like, Leia's just like, I fucking had to save your life. You're welcome. He's just like, grr, all these women are talking bad about me. But they're all right. Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, I have actually now pulled up the Wikipedia page so I can look at stuff. And try to remember everyone's names. So, at first, because I did talk about this, I forgot what episode was it. I think it was a Dragon Con episode. I talked about how, like, I liked the first part of it because, like, everybody was kind of like, ooh, Isildur's here and he's so cute and he's so Fabir. And, like, and I was joking about how when Han saw him, he was just like, oh, this pretty boy is making me ooh-woo. Yeah, that stops right away. He stops ooh-wooing over Isildur, which would have made the book better, personally, but that's not going to happen. So what ended up happening was,
even worse, guys. Han, because he's so jealous of his Sildor, goes and gambles for an entire planet and becomes a colonizer for the rest of the book, where he borderline shows up Eddie Izzard style and is just like, this is my planet now. And all the Night Sisters and the witches of the Singing Mountain Clan are just like, you can't just claim our planet. We fucking live here. And he pretty much is like, well, I have a flag and a deed. Do you have a flag? No flag, no country. The rules I just made up. Like this is, he's running on fucking Eddie Izzard rules. And it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. And like, he becomes a colonizer because he may or may not be royalty, because C-3PO, who is a droid and smart and can read, might have read something wrong that Khan may or may not be royalty. So then C-3PO is just spends the rest of the book trying to like be the worst wingman ever, but and Chewie, you could just cut out of this book entirely. Chewie does one thing in this book, and the rest of the time he's just sort of there, which I think is a theme of Legends. I have a feeling that that's why they killed them, because people don't know how to do that. Except for I hear Chewie's really cool in Death Troopers, according to our friends at Gold Squad and Gaze, who did a really good episode on that, so check that out. Anyway, Han becomes a colonizer, because he gets this planet, right? And it's called Dathomir. Nobody knows where it is. No one's heard about it, right? Right, right. But he's just like, cool, I am now king of a planet now. Surely Leia will love me. And he goes to Leia and doesn't try to, like, talk to her. You know, they're supposed to be dating, right? You know, they're not married yet. This is the courtship. They haven't seen each other in a while. They're supposed to be a couple. And he doesn't go to her and be like, hey, can we talk about this order? Can we talk about this? Can we be rational, reasonable adults? Nope. He, I shit you not, fucking kidnaps Leia. And I'm not even being like it's not even hyperbole. He takes her, shoves her into the floor of the Falcon in a place where it doesn't have a working oxygen system, so she almost dies. And what happens is she was supposed to go on a diplomatic mission, and this diplomatic mission, I'm waving around a knife, this diplomatic mission was to stop two people from warring and two planets from being in a war. So not only does he physically kidnap Leia, and she almost suffocates to death, he is also jeopardizing billions with a B, billions of lives and the standing of the New Republic to a system that is still in Imperial control, thus potentially wrecking not only billions of people and Leia, but also the possible future of the New Republic. And she is supposed to marry this man? Marry this man? She's supposed to marry him? And so when I got to that part, I was like, this is the biggest fucking red flag. Like, what is David, whatever your name is, what are you doing? And what, like, how are you going to get out of this? Because this is the biggest red flag I've ever seen. You don't kidnap, unless this is, and then I remembered it's 80 storytelling and it's full of bullshit. So now that we got that out of the way, that is my base feelings about Han Solo. The rest of the book is good or bad. So to get to this point, and I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you haven't like figured out, this is full spoilers. I'm not, the book's like, what, like 20-something years old? I don't care. If you don't want spoilers, stop listening, because I'm going to spoil your book for you. So that is the where I was on Han Solo, because I was just like, what the fuck? I can't believe, like, this is going to be some fucking mental gymnastics to marry this man. And it's true. And it's not even mental gymnastics. It's more like a lobotomy. Because Leia is awesome for chunks of this book. Like, she sees that Han is being a dick. And she looks over, and there's a Sildor being perfectly nice and reasonable, and they're having, like, conversations like adults. And she goes, oh, this is what an adult relationship looks like. And like, get the Fabio boy, girl. Do the thing. And so Isildur comes in. He's great. I actually really love the hapes, the apps, the hapes, the hats. The hapes, what is it called? The haps cluster. The hapen gun control. The haps. We'll just call them the haps. I actually really like the haps a lot. I think they're a really cool system. But the haps was the kind of the first indicator that David... I'm going to actually look at this man's name. What is his name? David Wolverton. The haps were my first indication that David Wolverton might hate women. And I wish I was saying that, like, not jokingly. Or I half jokingly, because, Yeah. The mother? So there's a funny thing about women in this book. Is they're either really cool, but they're always never, like, good compared to men. And they always have to kind of be, like, mansplained to. And they're always, like, even, like, these women are, and the women who are in power, like, actual women who have, like, don't have to answer to men, are not involved with men, like the queen's mother, like a Githerian, who's the bad guy. Like, if they don't have to answer the men, they're villains. There's no in between. There's no gray. They either have to like listen to Han and Luke or Isildur, or they're villains. And I'm just like, David. And this is gonna be our first like David. Okay, now we're cutting up mushrooms. So we gotta wash the mushrooms first, because the mushrooms have dirt on them, and we don't want dirty mushrooms. Oh, please. We'll see. So, David, your way of wording women is something. I'm actually pretty sure that David was either, like, going through a breakup or a divorce when he was writing this book. And I can tell, like, the exact moment it was happening. Because, like, for the first kind of third-ish of the book, yeah, it was fine. It was what I was expecting out of, like, when did you come out? 90s? From a 1994 book. The women were about on par, what I was expecting. And then I hit the breakup chapters, as I call them. Because there are several chapters where very suddenly, women were just ripping out their titties. And I, like taking off clothes and ripping out their titties. And I, like, I'm not joking. Like, it's about a 3 or 4 chapter section where, oh, and also when the when Han, who again is a colonizer, and the more like quote unquote civilized characters like Luke and Leia and Isildur and Han, the New Republic characters, like come to Dathomir. There's, like, definitely, like, the language changes, and the people of Dathomir, like, the indigenous people are, and I'm going to apologize because this is used as, like, a very racist word towards indigenous people. Like, David uses the word, like, savage a lot, and they're written in a way to where they're, like, not civilized. Even though they have this amazing, amazing, like, society. And Githerian was so badass that Emperor Palpatine feared her, and you colonizing assholes are going to come in and treat these people and use this language towards them? Come on. And also, David, stop writing them. Because, like, what happens is David's writing completely changes the moment they get there. And, like, Tenennial, within a group of, like, 3 or 4 chapters, Tenennial changes in front of Luke and Isildur, or it might just be Isildur. So, like, she's just like, oh, I'm just gonna take off all my clothes, and he's just like, oh, fuck, I'm engaged, oh, no, she's cute. And then, like, when Han first gets there, there's some Night Sisters there, because the Night Sisters are fighting the Singing Mountain Clan. And some Night Sisters are there, and one of the Night Sisters was just like, oh, really? Are you going to strike me down? And she rips open the front of her dress and exposes her boobs. And she's just like, then come on, do it. But my favorite one during the breakup chapters was when Tenennial and Luke are under attack by the Night Sisters. And Tenennial, I kid you not, gets shot in the boob. It literally hits her in the breast. And she is dying, and the only way to save her is for Luke Skywalker to touch her boob to heal her. And, like, it's written, like something like, and Luke, like, reached out and, like, cupped her breast. And I'm like, David, honey, did your wife leave you? Are you missing her boobs? Because you've mentioned breast 3 or 4 times in this, like, series of, like, 4 chapters. Like, honey, it's okay. That's what hands and socks are for. Like, you can have lotion. It'll be all right. You'll find love again, David. Like, please. Just, God. And it was these like, oh. I don't think he likes women very much. But we'll see. I don't know. I don't know if he's married. Maybe he is. If you are, Mazel Tov. I don't care. Anyway, so, what have we established? Han sucks. Women are written shittily. And people are colonizers. Okay, so I gotta talk about Tenennial Joe, though. Actually, kind of about Leia, too. Leia and Tenennial coming together. Tenennial is both the best and worst character in this book. So she's both the best and worst character in this book. I love Tenennial as a concept. I love Tenennial and her relationship with Isildur because they actually because Isildur comes and he immediately like gets engaged to Leia because the council of like what's left of Alderaan is like, Leia, if you marry this prince, you'll be great for the New Republic and Alderaan would be like an official thing again and you are like the only princess around here. And she's just like, Mon Mothma, do I have to? And Mon's like, yeah, kind of. And she's like, oh, damn it. But I'm, and like, and everyone like shit talks Han. Everyone in the New Republic are like, are you really going to marry that Han guy when Isildur is right there? And Leia's like, I guess. And so I'm like, girl, you're better with Isildur. Go get him. So she immediately gets like engaged to like Isildur. And it's like a Disney thing where it's just like, oh, we've known each other for like a week. I guess we'll get married, I guess. So it is kind of cheesy. The thing about Tenennial. She brings out the best and worst in characters, and she is also the best and worst of characters. And what I mean by that is she is a witch of the Singing Mountain Clan. She's a witch of the Night Singing Mountain Clan, and she just happens to run into Luke and Isildur in the wilderness, and she captures them, and she's like, you're both my property, because we are apparently lesser beings, and we enslave men, because men are bad, and women are good, and this book was written by a man, I guess. And so, yeah. But the thing about her relationship with Isildur, unlike Isildur's relationship with Leia, like, Leia and Isildur, like, get along just fine. And, like, you know, they have, like, understand each other on political levels. Tenennial and Isildur naturally fall in love. And it's really cute. And they really, like, they actually have, like, real conversations about things they like and dislike and their fears and their cultures. And they just very naturally fall in love. And it's really good. And they're very cute together. And I did look it up on Wikipedia and I saw that their daughter becomes a thing. And I do know that they get married and stuff like that. So I'm like super duper duper fucking happy for them. Here's the problem with Tenennial. And it comes in the form of Luke and Han. I'll start with Luke. Luke is so. Okay, I gotta put down the knife. So. There are 2 Luke Skywalkers in this book. One is Labrador Luke. I love Labrador Luke. Labrador Luke is an asexual mess who is just kind of like, oh, I don't know about romance, guys. I'm just kind of want to do my thing. And like when Luke is acting like a person and just being a person and talking to people as persons and just being a normal guy, he is amazing. I love Luke in those situations. Like, there are times when, like, Tenennial is like, you're my boyfriend now. And he's just like, I don't, oh no, I'm attracted. Oh, but I, like, don't want to be with you. Like, Ace Luke is best Luke. I love Ace Luke. He's great. And he might be Demi. He's a little bit Demi in this book, and I'm always for support of it. And then you have Jedi Luke. And Jedi Luke, I want to kick into a wood chipper. Because the thing about Jedi Luke is the moment that he goes into Jedi Luke mode, he is suddenly omnipotent. Omnipotent. He's godlike. He knows things because the quote-unquote Force told him to. He has, like, godlike powers. Omniscient is the word I was looking for. He's, like, omniscient. Like, he suddenly just knows things for reasons. And it's things that, like, he shouldn't be able to know because these are things happening in a different place. And he's just like, I know these things because the Force told me to. And he also has powers because the Force told me to. But the kicker is how you can tell. And this is kind of where maybe like reading the High Republic is coming back to bite me, where there's like a bunch of different kinds of Force groups. He's like preaching the Church of Jedi and any other use of the Force is wrong. Like he comes up to Tenennial and basically tells her way of using the Force is wrong. And he goes to the Singing Mountain Clan and is like, you guys are wrong. This is the proper way to use the Force. Also, Night Sisters, y'all are extra bad because you're Darksiders. So therefore, you're not worthy of being saved. And he doesn't say that. Like, he tries to save them, but he's just like, oh, I gave it one shot. I killed a woman. Anyway, he continues on his fucking day. And I'm just like, dude, like, you can't just go into a different place and tell them that their hundreds and hundreds of years of customs are wrong. That's not, no. And like, Tenennial, bless her, I love her, sweet child, eats it up. And she's just like, oh, yeah. Because you came in here, man, with Jedi-ness, told me I can suddenly have more powers, and like she can suddenly magically do more Force stuff because she listened to him and not her hundreds of years of culture that are apparently wrong because this man said so. And I'm just like, And like Tenennial like enables it too. Like she's just like, okay, I guess I am wrong, even though I was raised this way and it's my fucking culture. I'm just gonna throw all this out the window because I used the dark side once and that's bad and I feel bad. So yeah, this Jedi is right then. I guess I will send my future child to him. I guess. Onions are gonna be difficult, guys, because I'm actually super sensitive when it comes to cutting onions. So I might have to like pause and like wipe down my teary eyes and stuff, but we're gonna finish these onions just because I have extra onions and maybe we'll wash some green onions to go with it. We'll see. So, that is how Tenennial is like empowers Luke to be one of the worst characters. But where Tenennial, and I hate this, is she is the one that breaks up, let's see, Cylinder, Leia, Han, Luke. She is the one that breaks up the love pentagon. So here's the pentagon. Leia is trying to decide between Han and Isildur. Isildur is engaged to Leia, but likes Tenennial. Tenennial has captured Luke and Isildur to be her future husbands, plural, and or one. She wants Luke because she's like, oh, you're a male witch, and those don't exist. I'll be, like, super cool in, like, my witch place. You know, let's marry me. And, like, Luke's like, ha, 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 sex. But when she realizes that Luke's not into it, and see here, look, like, Tenennial's totally into consent. She's just like, oh, Luke's not into that. Okay. So, I'm not gonna be, she's like, I'm not gonna force anything on y'all. And, like, I'm like, go, good for you. Good for you. Tenennial gets, consent. And so when she sees that Luke's not digging it, that's when she turns her attention to Isildur. And that's when they start kind of being their, like, cute selves. And I think they're adorable. But here's the issue. Because Tenennial falls in love with Isildur, and because Isildur falls in love with Tenennial, then Han doesn't have to take any accountability. Because up to that moment in the book, everyone is shitting on Han and everyone is holding him accountable. Everyone is like, you are the reason. And like, there was fighting going on between the Singing Mountain Clan and the Night Sisters. That was already happening. What Han did was exacerbate the situation by showing up and being like, hey, because I was a jealous asshole, I own this planet now. And Gastharian, who has been trapped on the planet because Palpatine went, oh shit, this woman is dangerous. We cannot give a person a ship because if she escapes the planet, she might actually destroy me and destroy the galaxy. So let's just not do that. And Han Solo, because he got his feelings hurt and was jealous and went, oh, woo, my feelings hurt, shows up in the Millennium Falcon, and Gastharian goes, oh, hey, a ship. The Singing Mountain Clan has a ship. Let's go attack. And the whole time, everyone's like, Han, you did this. And he's like, why is everyone blaming me? And like when Luke is reunited with them, because like when he, again, physically kidnaps Leia, Luke and Isildur go looking for them because his sister was kidnapped. Luke walks in and goes, hey, Han, how are you doing? And Han literally goes, I'm having a bad day, Luke. Everyone is being so mean to me and saying that I am wrong. And he's like, takes no accountability for kidnapping Leia, putting billions of lives at risk, takes no accountability for hurting the standing of the New Republic, takes no accountability of the people up to that point that were killed, being other Night Sisters and Singing Mountain Clan people. He takes no accountability for the hapes that are dead because they are trying to figure out where Leia is because, again, their prince was engaged to her. And in turn, threatening the alliance between the hapes and the New Republic, he becomes the victim. It is a fucking Darvo situation where he is just turns it on himself, and he's like, everyone is blaming me because I'm so good and I'm right. And I'm just like, boy, first of all, I just dropped green onions on the floor. Boy, first of all, shut the fuck up. It is your fault, you stupid ass man. Anyway, Han sucks. I forgot where I was going with this because, yeah, I just dropped my green onions on the floor. So, Tenniel. So, yeah. So he doesn't take any accountability for his actions that he might have caused a massive war on a planet and with other people and has endangered the New Republic and the Haps Alliance and all this shit is going on. And also, if Isildur dies, then the Haps could be like, oh, fuck you, New Republic, because you got our prince killed, even though we hate men, because this was written by a man, and all women are evil. Ah! I bought an onion. I can turn into the onion I bought. I made mango salsa the other day. And I forgot we owned an onion, so I bought another onion, and then I forgot I bought another onion. So now I'm going to cut up more onion. So, Han Solo, up to this point, has taken no accountability for his actions. And what he has to do, the summary of this is, if people are blaming on you, if people are blaming everything on you, all you have to do is be patient, because eventually the love pentagon will break apart because of Tenniel. Because what happens is when Tenniel and Isildur start liking each other, Leia goes, oh, well, they kind of like each other. And then she looks over at Han and goes, oh, well, I guess I can forgive him for kidnapping me and endangering people and doing all this bullshit that got us here in the first place because Han actually did good, because when we got here, we found Zinja's men, and also it's pronounced Zinja according to the audiobook, even though it just was not spelled that way, like ninja, but with a Z on it, Z, and so Leia goes, oh, I guess Han's not that bad, he's done good things in the past, and like, essentially what happens is Leia becomes a moron. Like, there's this point in the book where Leia stops being smart. And it's like something, like a light switch in her brain. She just stops being smart because the plot requires her to marry Han Solo. That is the reason. Tenenyo comes in, still the guy she's engaged to. She goes, okay, I guess Han's there. Let me get on his dick, I guess. That dick must be made of gold. And it must be all the gold of Alderaan. Because this man is fucking trash. Leia Organa deserves better than Han Solo. Which, I'm going to shout out my buddy Emily. She has an Etsy store called Your Weird Ants. I'm going to actually look this up to make sure I get it right. Your Weird... She has an Etsy store called Your Weird Aunt Shop on Etsy. She has a sticker that says Han Solo slept his way to the top. And she is correct. Because Han Solo is a goddamn piece of shit. And the only reason he gets the girl is because Tenenyo Joe exists. And shows up and falls in love with a Soldor. That's it! That's how the book resolves! Because Han never once! The only time Han takes accountability for his actions is when Githyrian, because they find out that Githyrian, whatever her fucking name is, the evil witch of the Night Sisters, because women have to be evil, Githyrian has taken over an imperial prison because the Empire was there, and then Palpatine went, oh shit, this woman's evil, more evil than I am, trap her there. So she's just had an imperial prison for like 10 years or some bullshit like that. And she's like, fine, I guess I'll keep these men alive for my own slave labor, I guess. And they're not even all Imperials. Like she, the actual people of the prison are like Republic. Some of them are from, I think, the Clone Wars, actually. But most of them are from the Civil War, the Republic Civil War. And they were, like, high-ranking Rebel Alliance, like, spies and people and stuff like that. But not, like, high enough ranking for people to give a shit about them. Which is horrible to say. And so Githyrian's just like, oh, well, I will enslave both the Rebel Alliance people and the Imperial people. And now I own all the men. Because I am lady and we evil, I guess. Ha 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 ha. So Han, they find this out. And they're like, oh shit. Like, she has all these people and stuff like that. And the Empire people are bad. But we want to save the good people, right? Githyrian makes essentially an ultimatum to Han. Which is just like, hey, if you don't bring me the Millennium Falcon so I can get the fuck off this planet, I'm going to start killing people like this. And she like has her stormtrooper men open fire on like 50 prisoners. That is the only time Han feels remorse for any of his actions. Not for the woman he's supposed to love. Not towards his future brother-in-law that he is supposed to love. Not for Chewbacca, who could be written out of the story and is here and has almost also died on this mission. Not for Isildur, who he is slowly getting to know, because once they actually use their human adult man words, they go, oh, hey, we actually have a lot in common when we're not being jealous assholes towards each other. And that is... No, it's not the people that Han loves. It's the strangers that are being killed in his name. Which is bad. Don't get me wrong. That is also bad. But it's also one of those things that kind of drives me slightly fucking batty. Because it's the only time in the book he feels remorse. And other than that, he takes no accountability for any of his actions for the rest of the book. And Tenenyo, because Tenenyo breaks up Leia and Isildur, he never has to take accountability. And Leia's just like, well, I guess I like Han now again, because he's the only other dick I can fuck, even though I kissed my brother once. But we don't talk about that. No one talks about that. Shut up. We don't talk about that. And yeah, that's how the romance resolves. And it's stupid. David, you're a stupid man. You're so dumb. And it makes me mad. Okay, garlic. After the garlic that we're sauteing, we have a massive pound of zucchini, mushrooms, and onions.
But we should talk about the good stuff. That's pretty much all the bad stuff. I want to talk about the good stuff.
You can't store onions properly. Storing my onion properly.
Okay, good stuff. Bad courtship of Princess Leia.
Here we go. The actual culture, not the culture, but the Hapes, the Singing Mountain Clan, and the Witches of Dathomir. are fascinating. And the whole time I was reading them, I went, God, I would love to see all these written by a woman. Because when you actually take away, like, the icky language and, like, when it comes to, like, indigenous people and, like, the villainizing and stuff like that, there's a lot of really neat concepts in those three organizations. And you get entire chapters of, like, the leaders of these cultures just talking. You know, the leader of the lead witch of the Singing Mountain Clan will have entire conversations with other members in her council trying to figure out what to do. And they also, that's when they also shit talk Han the most, which is funny. Because there's a time where they're like, this guy has the deed, right? Yeah, we're taking that from him. What a moron. And those are my favorite moments, is when everyone shit talks Han. There's a lot of shit talking to Han. I love this point. That's one of my favorite points of the part of the book. These actual organizations are incredibly fascinating. And they're really interesting, and I really enjoy them. We're getting garlic off the bulb. Okay. I think this is enough garlic. We'll see. What I find really fascinating, though, is the Night Sisters. I find it fascinating that it's the Night Sisters. Out of the organizations in this book that are created, it's the Night Sisters are the ones that took off. Because they're kind of, you know, because like they come here and like they're in some other Legends books and stuff like that, but when it comes to the Clone Wars, the Night Sisters are, yes, dark-sided and stuff like that, and I could see it, Dave and George Lucas being like, well, we wanted a dark-side organization because that makes sense for Asajj Ventress and blah, blah, blah. But we spend way more time with the Singing Mountain Clan. Like, we see their organization, like, explored their organization, their culture and their world explored more. And the fact that the Night Sisters have gotten all the attention in the canon and in the TV shows and stuff like that versus the Singing Mountain Clan, which has really just come in with Tales of the Empire, is just really interesting to me. Like, it's not really just one thing. Like, and it makes sense. Like, the Night Sisters are very fascinating. One of the most compelling moments is when Luke is forced to kill a young one. And it's one of the few times where he's, like, not being, like, Mr. Omniscient Jedi. Like, he's trying to appeal to her as a person. Because the third act of this book is spectacular. Because it is a multi-chapter, multi-location battle. About the moment they all start working together and stop their assholery towards each other. And everybody's, like, actual, like, talents and skills come out. The last third of this book, when they get to Githerion, whatever her name is, the evil Night Sister leader, when they get to the prison and they first discover the prison, they just thought it was an Imperial holdout, and then they get inside, they're like, oh, everyone's enslaved here. Oh, shit. Okay, I got it. From that moment to the end of the book is really good up until the wedding, because that is just so stupid. The third, like, there's this, like, multiple, multi-layer battle, and it has multiple locations, multiple perspectives, and everybody gets a moment. The last third of this book is fucking awesome. And one of the most, like, compelling moments is when Luke is off on his own, he gets, like, goes off to, like, kind of try to fight Githerion himself, and he comes across a young Night Sister, and she's, like, I think he describes her as a teenager, like, she's young, she's like a child in the middle of this battle, and he tries so desperately to, like, talk to her as a person, and to convince her to that he doesn't want to kill her, and she's just has so drunk the lies and, like, the Kool-Aid of the Night Sisters that she just can't see past his words. And he's forced to kill her, and it's not done as something that's victorious, like, it's done as a tragedy. And, like, those are the moments where Dave really gets this book right, where, like, it's not heroic for Luke to kill this teenager. It's out of necessity, and he hates himself for it. He hates that it comes to that.
And if more, like, that's when Courtship of Princess Leia is really, really good. And I wish that's where they, I wish we got more of that, because as much as I love the stupid, like, the stupid drama and stuff like that, because a lot of the stuff I'm, like, I'm raging about was also, like, what made the book so much fun. Like being able to go into, like me, Charles, and Colton have, like, our own little DM group on Discord for me to, like, talk to them about Legends stuff and, you know, just because we're friends and have similar interests. Like, that's when this book is really good. Because Dane has a lot of really good ideas. He just executes so many of them in, like, the ickiest way possible. And, like, there's just, like, so many, like, little things that, in the hands of a woman, this book would be fucking outstanding. But because it's in the hands of, like, a man, it comes across so icky. Like it just does. And it's almost like the tragedy of this book, because I feel like a woman would be better about, you know, a woman who understands that, like, 1 in 3 women in their lives will go through sexual assault of some kind would be like, yeah, maybe don't kidnap Leia and cram her into the floor, because that's an immediate red flag. Okay, we are now human trafficking the Princess of Alderaan, I guess. So, yeah, and, like, so the parts that are really good in this book are really great. Like, the scene that actually made me cry was the scene that Tenennial thought that Isildur was leaving for good. Because this was, he was like, I'm engaged to Leia, like, I have these duties as a prince, and blah, blah. And they're sitting outside, and it's, like, the eve of battle. And essentially what happens is, the New Republic characters have to leave, and the Night Sisters, the Singing Mountain clan is going to war with the Night Sister to cover the tracks. It doesn't happen, of course, everyone ends up hiding, but Tenennial is, like, laying in the grass, and they're talking about stars, and, like, Isildur is, like, pointing out, like, the Hapes, like, where the Hapes cluster is, and she's like, I can see your world, like, when I look up, and, like, and she promises him, she's like, in the future, whenever I look up and I see those stars, I will think of you, will you think of me? And because Dathomir is very much shrouded in darkness and doesn't have, like, the best suns, he was like, she first asks, can you see my star from your world? And he goes, no, I can't. And she starts to cry, because really at the end of the day, it's not that, like, Tenennial was bad, she just doesn't want to be forgotten. Like, everything that she does to Luke and Isildur on this is that she just doesn't want to be forgotten. That is her flaw, and it kind of drives her with this, like, sadness. And God, it's such a beautiful scene, because Isildur then goes, when I get home, I promise I will find the direction of your star. And even if I can't see it, I know you're there. And I promise you, I will look up and think of you. Just so she has someone to remember her. My God. Like, when the book is doing stuff like that, it is so good. But it's only, like, 40% of the book. No, actually, I would give it half. Half of the book is just really good. The other half of the book is just batshit crazy. Maybe even more. And I will say, like, a lot of my feelings about Courtship is peppered by my feelings towards Han Solo, because fuck that guy. But also, like, I don't know. It was a fascinating read, and I just want to... Colton and Charles were right. There were parts of this book that would make me rage. They did. And they were right that there was xenophobia. No one told me anything about the colonialism, so that was fun to discover, was colonizing Han Solo. But I don't regret it. I actually had a lot of fun, because there are just, you know, when you watch a bad movie and you just laugh at it because it's just bad, you know, like, that was kind of the fun parts. Like, there were parts I was raging, and I know there was a few times of just like, I'm so mad right now, I'm having the best time. And that was kind of the summary of The Courtship of Prince Leia. I raged at parts, and there are parts that made me legitimately mad. Like, I felt so much anger. But there are parts I was just cackling
Because, of course, the only way Luke Skywalker can heal Tenennial is by touching her boob. Of course, that's how that happens. Of course, there's no other way to save her life but to, like, to cup her boobie and to, like, rub up on it. Like, yeah, of course. Sure, Dave. Sure. Sure. Get some lotion for your hand, buddy. Your loneliness is showing. But overall, I had a great time. Like, I'm actually really enjoying my Legends trip. I'm 3 out of 4 books through Secret Missions, Clone Wars Secret Missions, and I'm enjoying it. I might do another one of these. If you guys like Cooking with Hope, while I rant about Star Wars stuff, let us know, because I don't regret reading Princess Leia. It was a batshit crazy thing, and I found Tenennial, my girl. I love her. I think she's great. Wow, I've been doing this for almost an hour now. Okay, I gotta finish actually cooking, because, yeah, all right. Thanks for listening to Jake as a Jedi, and we'll talk to you later. Bye!
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Discover all new adventures, all the wonder, all the characters you love in the best-selling Star Wars novels. Thrilled with these all-new adventures, true to the spirit that inspired us all. Read a Star Wars novel today and let the Force be with you. Don't miss the new Star Wars novel, The Courtship of Princess Leia, available now in hardcover wherever books are sold.